Well, good morning. I'm going to spend practically no time talking about herbicides, but I'm going to be talking about new technology for weed control. So the first thing I want to define, I think this is important, I'm sure nearly everybody knows this terminology, but traditional cultivation, I'm not seeing the curse, here it is, this is traditional inter-row cultivation where you leave a narrow band near the crop, which you leave untouched. And so that narrow band, you're dependent upon the use of an herbicide band, which is what's done in California lettuce, where they place like a 6-inch band centered over the seed line. But the bottom one, and I keep losing this cursor, is intra-row. And basically this is pretty close to what you would do with a hoe. You basically just leave a little halo around each crop plant. And so you get most of the weeds, not all the weeds. So there's a lot of context in which to consider here, and it's difficult to do that in 15 minutes. So agricultural labor costs are rising. I heard that about 15 or 20 times yesterday. Especially crops are which is why we're here, very labor intensive, and they need greater automation. Because, as I keep saying, Ag Chem ain't going to save us. They haven't yet, and they never will. We need to take our fate into our own hands. We need to not be passive. We need to be active participants in development of technology. Weed control costs, as you know, are much higher in vegetable crops than in agronomic crops. Because there are many fewer acres and there's much less incentive for Ag Chem to get involved. But we need it everywhere because the Ag Chem guys or the agronomic crop guys will soon figure out, or they are figuring out, that they need to use less herbicide. They need to use more of different types of cultural and physical tools if they're going to have less herbicide resistance. For the record, in lettuce and tomatoes in California, we do not have herbicide-resistant weeds developing because we have an integrated system. Weed control costs are very high. Here's Romaine Hearts. Basically, this is the one you buy the three-pack that's nice to make in the Caesar salad. You got $51. That's for a curb. Mechanical cultivation, that's about three trips through the fields for $46 an acre. And then hand weeding, $153. That's last year's numbers. That number has probably gone up another $40 or $50 in the last few months. So Romaine Hearts, about $250 an acre. For organic spinach, where there's no herbicide costs, there's basically only cultivation in the furrows. Row metals, then there's hand weeding, which in organic spinach is over $400 an acre. So you have $479 an acre in organic spinach. So we've got some significant costs. Hand weeding, because we have only partial control in conventional vegetables, we need to hand weed. We need to cultivate and hand weed. This is getting more expensive all the time. There is a response of industry to this niche. The first iteration, you've got Blue River, which was bought last week by, it's not a secret, it was in the Wall Street Journal and lots of other places. They were bought for $305 million by John Deere. Agmatronics is a small company. Basically, these are lettuce thinners. California, the growers plant lettuce, they seed it. 170,000 seeds per acre. They thin it down, depending on the planting stand, to a little less than 40,000. Traditionally, that's been done by hand. Now it's being done automatically. Here's four companies that are doing it. Here's a couple of European entrants. Polson's on the left. That's the blue machine. These are intra-row weeders, the Stikati. Basically, they're using pattern row pecking recognition. They can differentiate, these machines can only differentiate a chlorophyll in a leaf from the soil. So they basically are dependent on picking up the pattern of the row so they can follow it. I'll give you a couple of demos, not of those machines, but of a similar. So it's difficult in a weedy situation for a machine. We call it intelligent weeding, but these machines really aren't that smart. So machine learning, which is, or deep learning, or a number of other different names, it's difficult because there you have a situation where you have this thing is running on automatic. You have a tomato plant that's within obscured by weeds, and the plant really can't tell. So that's the scene I'm talking about. So it's difficult to try to deal with that situation. So basically, what the one point where you know what the crop plant is when you plant it. You either transplant it or you seed it. You know that that seed is a tomato seed when you put it in the ground or the transplant. So what you do is you use that information to weed it. So this is this is funded by David Slaughter is the lead engineer on this, and this is an SCRI-funded project. So there are four methods that the engineers and associates at Davis have used. One of them is genetic engineering. That's a non-starter, but the plants are pretty cool looking. Systemic markers basically is the idea. We're still working on this. I have a grad student working on this. Is the idea is for the plant to take up a marker and translocate it through the xylem to the leaves so that the machine can see it. And then the other way of topical markers, which is the middle one on the bottom, basically, I'll show you quite a bit of that. That's paint. And then the one on the right is a stick or a marker or a flag. So what we've been using are food-grade chemicals that are actually used as theater in theatrical situations because they're sensitive. If you flash different wavelengths on them, and the company that makes Rust-Oleum actually makes these, they're fairly expensive, but they're responsible for some of the cool effects that you see on theatrical stages. You flash different types of light, and what was red is turning blue or white. You can do some cool things. So what we're trying to do is you take advantage of that. So this is exactly the three same plants under a different wavelength, and you can see that the plant on the right was kind of whitish, and here it shows up, I don't know what you would call that, a reddish or tinge to it. So you can mechanize this. Here it is in tomatoes. Paint is just one way. I've got a graduate student that's working on the use of a tape marker that's much like a bread wrapper. Basically, we're using a bread wrapper machine that closes bread wrappers to put a tape on. But this is how you do it. You can mechanize this. The machine knows where it put down a tomato plant, and so you put a marker on the tomato plant. There it is on the stem. And you can go back and weed that. So there's what it looks like. This is a prototype, guys. It's messy. They're not happy with it, but we need more precision in this. But that's the idea. I keep pushing the engineers, well, we can do better. And they go, hey, we're not commercial. We're trying to develop the basic outline of the technology. And I am learning to respect the engineers more. What they're doing ain't easy. But here it is with straws, which this is not going to be commercial. But the concept is that you can recover that information. Believe it or not, that there's lettuce in that. And actually, we can go in and weed that. And we have some. This is what the machine is seeing, that sort of funhouse reflection. There's one right in the middle. There is a tomato plant with a marker, a straw on it, and we're recovering that. The reason we're using straws, and by the way, those are biodegradable starch straws, and they're less than a penny a piece, which is why we're doing it. So here we are, weeding tomatoes. This is what it looks like. I was talking with someone earlier. When you do a machine like this, you open and close. So you have a two-way motion. Basically, this slows you down. It's faster if you just spray something, that allows you to go faster because it's a one-way trip. So I'll give you some actual weed control results here. We had, these are, I'm going to give you results from processing tomatoes from this past season. One of them is still in the ground in Davis. And it's from Maine lettuce that we did at Salinas. What we do is weed counts before and after. And I see it's 5 minutes, Ed, so I'm just about done. So these are our standard trials. We ran from 4 to 8 reps. We did not, there's no herbicide in any of this. I haven't talked about herbicides yet. Automated cultivator versus a standard cultivator. A standard cultivator, as much as you see there, is basically just an inner row cultivator. It's leaving an uncultivated band. And I'm using analysis covariance because we've got pre-counts and post-counts. So what this is showing, we just got two treatments, automated and standard. So the post-counts in the automated weeder is 14 per meter, and the standard is 78. That's an 82% weed reduction. We've got an economist on the project, so we're measuring hand weeding time. It was 40, this is weedy, folks. Don't want to scare anybody. 46 hours per acre in the automated and 76. That's a 39% reduction. There was no difference in yield, so we were safe to the crop. We didn't hammer it. Weed densities, this is a second tomato trial. We had less weeds, 4.8 per square meter in the automated versus 14. That's a 67% reduction. Hours per acre, 7 versus 10. That's about a 30% reduction in hours per acre. In case you're wondering why we don't have a greater reduction in hand weeding time, is that it takes there's a delay. We can talk about that afterwards. But the person has to go through, and it takes time to look at the crop row, even if there isn't a weed there. So 60 and 41% reduction in weed, and no difference in yield in lettuce. So to summarize, the inter-row cultivator removed more weeds than the standard cultivator, and it reduces the hand weeding times compared to the standard cultivator. And the crop yields were quite similar. So thanks to USDA NIFA for support of this, as well as the California Leafy Greens and the Tomato Research Initiative in California. So that's it. Do I have a room for a little?
Yes, we have room for questions.
Yes. So which inter-row cultivator? Well, in lettuce, this is the type, this is standard, what I would consider a standard cultivator. It's got, I guess I apologize, I should have had a more close-up. It's got like a squirrel cage and a cultivator shoe in the middle, and it's got knives, called side knives, on the sides of the beds. And it does a nice job, but it leaves about a 4-inch band. It's 2 inches on either side. Processing tomatoes, we left about 10 inches. Those guys, that was on campus, and they weren't that good of operators. So, yes? So the idea on treatment costs. Thank you for that. We haven't done that yet. Laura Torti is an ag economist on this. I'm waiting for. We've got to give this data to her. So I apologize. I don't have that, but I do have numbers on the Robovator, which we published in Weed Technology a couple of years ago. And you know, the cultivators are more expensive. Like the Robovator is a and the Stikkati is around $100,000 to $120,000 to do a 2 meter bed set up with 5 seed lines. I know because I put that into a grant budget. So they're not cheap. And I'll tell you what a farmer told me if you're interested in costs. He says, "Well, I bought a cell phone in 1981 and I paid $3,000 for it, and I got a cell phone last week and it cost me a dollar. So why should I buy one of these cultivators now?" That's a darn good question. You know, is it, in other words, is the technology going to continue to come down? That's a hard question, and I think it's a fun thing to talk about. So, that it?